It's time to catch up with the San Antonio basketball hero.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, this is Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and you are listening to a Locked On Spurs with Jeff Garcia. It's morphin' time.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Kins 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Hey, hope you enjoyed your weekend and you're ready to start your work week right here with us at Locked On Spurs. We have a very special episode here on Los. We're going to be talking to San Antonio's very own and member of the newest team with the NBA G League, the Capitanes de Ciudad de México. He is the one, the only, Orlando Mendez Valdez. Orlando, welcome to Locked On Spurs.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
By the way, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. You and your family, friends, everybody.
I couldn't ask for any more. Got to spend to see familiar faces, eat good food, prepping everything, doing good, having a good Thanksgiving so far.
How do you balance that, being a professional athlete and knowing you can't overeat too much because you got a game soon?
Yeah, that's the hardest part, right? during the holidays, you know, everyone's kind of laying loose. They don't have to go to work the next day. And, you know, the calendar of a professional athlete kind of watch what you eat. And then you also have, you know, a game the next day or 2 days later. Yeah. So it's always part of it.
Yeah, I bet. Well, we're going to be talking today with Orlando. His career, which actually started in San Antonio with Lanier High School and has taken him all the way to the Capitanes de Ciudad de México of the NBA G League, including stops in Mexico with the Professional Mexican Basketball League there, where he was the Rookie of the Year in 2010, and all across the world. So, Orlando, let's start from the beginning, or right here in San Antonio with Lanier. That's where you really took off. Your jersey's retired there. Talk to us your career. How much does San Antonio mean to you to help it and help you launch your pro basketball career?
Yeah, it's something I didn't understand until, you know, I got older, of why, you know, San Antonio in general, a lot of athletes don't get recruited or get the exposure. But, you know, after I got older talking to coaches, it just kind of makes sense as far as logistics. Right. For recruiters to come into Houston and be able to tackle Dallas and Houston all in one weekend, and then with San Antonio being, you know, a further drive down south, kind of just messes up the logistics. And, you know, you know, Houston and Dallas in general, with such big cities with a lot of talent. So sometimes we get overlooked in San Antonio. And in my case, that's kind of what happened when I was at Lanier High School. You know, it was a situation where, obviously I didn't have the physique, to get a lot of attention. But apart from that, I wasn't kind of playing in the right tournaments or being seen with that exposure.
Well, nevertheless, I mean, you definitely made your mark in San Antonio basketball. You were named the San Antonio Player of the Year, your senior year, first team All-State honors. Your jersey number was retired in 2009. You've done a lot, and you're one of the many familiar names, pro basketball players that's come out of San Antonio. You have what Jordan Clarkson with the Jazz, yourself with the Capitanes, you have Shaq. The list goes on and on and on. How does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, amongst a lot of good, great players that have come out of San Antonio. You got Tony Crocker, you got Marcus King, you got George, you got a whole bunch of guys and you know, just to be mentioned within, you know, players of that caliber, it's a great feeling. But when I started this journey in basketball, it wasn't necessarily for me. It was more so being able to pave the way for the next generation of Mexican Americans. Going to Lanier High School and growing up in the West Side, primary, you know, a lot of Mexican American kids. And I just wanted to be that example. And that's what I try to do even to the end of my career, is trying to break those barriers. And hopefully, you know, the next kid that picks up the torch is taking it to another level.
Well, you definitely set a good foundation for Mexican kids that are looking to make basketball a career like you have. And you definitely have the blueprint. And even if it's not in the NBA, because I believe you entered the 2009 NBA draft, you definitely chased that pro career. You started playing with the Mexican Basketball League, the LNBP, from 2009 to 2016. You've gone as far as to Israel, playing with Maccabi Haifa. You know, that determination that you showed to make your pro career come true, that took a lot of courage, Orlando. How did that factor into, you know, you just chasing that dream, knowing that you're going to find it wherever you can?
I think everything came down to determination, having faith in you as an individual, having that confidence. And then obviously, you know, throughout each phase of my life, someone has came into my life in a pinnacle point, one being my spouse, my wife. And it helps to have that foundation, but apart to have a spouse or a relationship with someone that can bring the best out of you. You know, me being able to travel across the world and play with in different countries. I think more than anything, it was that support system that I had, and being disciplined enough that, you know, no one's going to hold my hand through this. And I'm a professional now. I got to maintain and improve my self awareness with everything. So honestly, it comes down to that, having that faith and having that support system. And everything, you know, is kind of micro, you know, as far as time management and discipline and watching what you eat, different habits that you build daily. But more than all, it's that support system.
Tell us about playing overseas. What was that like? What did you experience? Because you go from San Antonio to Israel at one of your stops. I mean, that must have been just some sort of culture shock for you.
It was. You know, my wife and I were researching to see if we had to go with a certain attire to see how different, you know, what the religion and language barrier was going to be. But Israel is pretty westernized. There was enough people that spoke English to be able to get by. Right. One thing that totally took me by surprise was how amazing the food is.
Really?
That's one thing. Huh. Yeah, among basketball players, you know, you call friends that have played there before and you're like, hey, kind of give me the scoop or what's the, you know, pros and cons. And and one thing that a lot of players never mentioned to me was how amazing the food is. And I think that's one of those things where once you start traveling and you start having favorite restaurants and you wish you could just bring back home with you. But it's been amazing just to be able to explore different cultures, you know, understanding that not everybody lives the same way you do. It's been great for my girls to be able to see how privileged and fortunate they are to have the life that they do. And more than anything, just giving them that awareness of how to treat people, treat others, and have that respect for different cultures.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes your situation and your profession so unique. Is you start in San Antonio, it blossoms there. You pack your bags, you go to Israel, and it becomes even, you know, more your career, more impactful on as far as the foundation, as you said, that you want to set a foundation for Mexican American kids that are chasing a basketball dream and a career. I mean, there you won the 3-point shootout contest at the Israeli League All-Star event. I mean, that touch, you still have that touch, don't you, Orlando? Right? You can still knock it down from anywhere, right? Steph Curry, watch out, right?
Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. And I want to talk to you about Turo. Turo is the world's largest sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or a budget across the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find an affordable economy car if you're on a budget and just need to get from point A to point B. Test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on and see how it fits in your everyday life. Many tour hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com.
Yeah, that's been one of my best qualities was, you know, always having that good touch and having that the shooting ability. You know, obviously it's something that you don't lose even with age. And even if I get out of shape, I'm still able to walk into a gym and knock down a couple of jumpers. Awesome. Everything else, athletic ability and speed and all that, we all lose. But if you're a shooter, once you're a shooter, you're always a shooter kind of thing.
We're talking to Orlando Mendez-Valdez. He is with the Capitanes de Ciudad de Mexico of the NBA G League, the new team playing with the G League. And he's here with us right here on Locked On Spurs discussing his professional career playing against the Austin Spurs, which we'll get to in a bit. Of course, we have the San Antonio-Miami game out in Mexico City coming up soon and much, much more on this episode of Locked On Spurs. Orlando, I think something that does not get highlighted enough in your career is that you were a part of Team Mexico in 2013, and you helped them go to the gold medal game against Puerto Rico in 2013 at the FIBA Americas Championship. Can you talk to us about that experience playing, you know, for the home country, playing in a pressure cooker setting game? What was that like?
It was amazing. That's probably one of the most accomplished tournaments that I would say as far as my career goes. That was a time of age where, you know, I was number one or two as far as the option within the system. And be able to get that responsibility and be able to give results while having that responsibility within the team and, you know, leading them to a gold medal and over 40 years for Mexico. It was huge for me and for all of us as a team in general. We had a lot of eyes watching. And like I said, it was history in the making. It was one of those ordeals where you just kind of come in with a chip in your shoulder. You look at the rosters of all these different teams that have NBA guys, you know, well-established names. So it was one of those determination games where, you know what, let's go out there and let's show them what we got and what we've been working. And everything clicked, and I think more than anything, the chemistry within that roster was amazing. And honestly, that's probably one of my favorite times as being a professional in basketball.
And speaking of Mexico, we mentioned earlier that you played with their professional league, the LNBP. What was that like? You know, putting, you know, you put on the Lanier High School jersey, you're representing San Antonio. You put on the Team Mexico jersey, representing the whole country. Now you're playing in the professional ranks, just, you know, right across the street, bracing San Antonio to Mexico with the Soles de Mexicali. What was that like?
It was different as far as the type of basketball FIBA presents. It's a lot more IQ. It's a lot more, you know, thinking ahead. You have, you know, age ranges from, you know, 20 to 38, 40 years old. So you're able to do some things on the court with youth, you just being young. And then there's other guys that have been playing the game so long that are just so smart and so wit with how to play defensively when they're not that fast or they're older, understanding angles, understanding rhythm, pace. So it was a learning experience to me because you'll see this 36-year-old and I'm coming in as a 22-year-old. And you're like, well, I don't have to make a move on him. I'm going to blow right by him. And this guy, you know, being able to understand angles and understand what he wanted to give up on defense and what he didn't, and being smart in that aspect, it was I quickly noticed that, you know what, this game is more than just, you know, being young, athletic, and and fast. I got to think it through more. And so that league in Mexico was that for me. It was my growth as a player to be able to understand more of the international basketball. I was fortunate enough to play, I think, 14, 13 years in that league. And, won four championships. I think I won three-point contests.
There should be no doubt that Orlando can shoot the ball. So he, not only does he win the three-point shootout contest in Israel, then he goes to Mexico and he wins it there. Not once, not twice, three times. I will never play a game of horse with you, Orlando. I don't think I can. I don't think I ever will. Ever even think about doing that. But, you know, you're talking about growth, and I think that's where you definitely, you know, your career just shot up into the sky. We mentioned the three-point shootout winnings. You mentioned winning championship. I mean, four-time LNBP champion. You're the Rookie of the Year there in 2010. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. When you were playing in the LNBP, you know, you mentioned right now that's when you really grew the most and everything. Did the game start slowing down for you then? Is that when everything came together and you said, you know what, I made it. I am a professional player and I get this game.
Yeah, that's definitely where I understood, you know, the schemes and what opponents were trying to do, and understanding that each game was going to present something for me on offense that was the game telling me, hey, look, they're giving this up and you got to capitalize on this. You know, it was not until then where I slowed down the game and I was able to impose what the defense was giving me on offense, and able to play a lot smarter on defense. So I think that's when the game really slowed down and it was more of a cat and mouse kind of game. I was out there, you know, thinking two steps ahead, being able to reserve my energy, understanding that, you know, this game is not all about speed. And that's definitely the league that helped me understand playing amongst men and that every game was going to be different with different concepts.
Yeah. I mean, from winning titles in the Mexican League to representing Team Mexico at the FIBA America's Championship. You also have Pan American game experience, Central Basketball experience in 2016. Y'all won the silver medal. 10-time LNBP All-Star. The list goes on and on. And even your college career is impressive. AP Honorable Mention in 2009, Sun Belt Player of the Year in 2009. You really made your mark on basketball, not only just for San Antonio and college level, and then, of course, representing your country of Mexico. That has to make you feel proud when you look back. But, you know, you did chase the NBA dream. Again, we mentioned you went undrafted. Has that ever bothered you, that the NBA never came knocking on your door? Or did you feel in a weird way that, you know what, this was the right path for me? This is how it was supposed to happen.
Hey, thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen today. Second listen, check out Locked On Sports today. From the games that matter the most, the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports today, available on this app, YouTube, wherever you get podcasts. And I want to talk to you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Look, I have tried it. It is so much fun. You definitely got to try it too. So how does it work? You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they go on to score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, well, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport you watch: NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, boxing, disc golf, Eurobasket, cricket, and much, much more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They got safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states in Canada. Here's what you got to do. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com right now to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can get themselves a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. You deposit 100, they give you 100. You deposit 50, Prize Picks will give you 50. Simple as that. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100.
I think different days has, you know, obviously I could go down a rabbit hole either yeah. or. But there was a point where, you know, looking back at my career, and I think I wasn't mature enough mentally to be able to jump to the NBA early on in my career. And it wasn't until, you know, I started playing amongst NBA guys on my team and or, you know, in Mexico playing against all these countries and USA included, and demonstrating that I could play with that talent. That's when I really, things were clicking where, you know what, I could have played in the NBA. I was good enough to play there, but I wasn't mature as far as my confidence in me to be able to take that leap. But looking back now, I definitely was a player that, you know, the stars kind of have to align, meaning, you know, it has to be a franchise organization that has a good system that tailors more my game. Obviously it has to be a coach or a GM that, you know, believes in me. And then I have needed to have, you know, a little bit of luck on my side as well. So I wasn't that kind of athlete or that kind of player where, you know, this kid could make it anywhere you put them as far as a system goes. You know, organization that I always saw myself, you know, being able to play when I was in middle school. When I was in college, I always wanted to go Gonzaga because Gonzaga would get international guys. They'll play more of a FIBA style, the extra pass. And then after college, it was, you know, the Spurs for me, where they would recruit, you know, undervalued guys overseas. They would build them, and then they would build that team chemistry and then a system that worked for everybody. So that the Spurs were like another organization to me where, you know what, this could work if the stars aligned for me, so to speak.
Did you ever try out for the Spurs, like walk in or go to training camp, anything like that? Or even have a workout with them?
They invited me one time after, I think, the 2013 gold medal that we won for FIBA for Mexico. After that, I'm not sure how it came about, but they invited me to a practice. That I didn't practice, but they just, you know, had me. And, you know, and it was easy to see how why they have so much success or had so much success at that time was, you know, there's this kid just walking in and you have Chip Ingram just coming and talking to me for 15 minutes. You had every person in the staff just come and sit and talk for 15, 20 minutes. And they were really engaged in the conversation. It wasn't where, this is my job. I got to go talk to this kid. So it was the little details, that you can tell why the organization had so much success. And although I didn't practice or didn't do anything, but, you know, just the invite alone, to be able to see how guys work and seeing how what is a first class organization, that exposure itself was pretty cool to witness.
We're talking with Orlando Mendez Valdez. He is with the NBA G League's Capitanes de Ciudad de Mexico, the newest team of the NBA G League. And he is with us right here on Locked On Spurs, discussing his career, his path, and more importantly, the example that he wants to set for Mexican American kids and or young adults that are chasing pro basketball dreams. Orlando, you were with the, as mentioned right now, the newest G League team, the Capitanes. How proud were you when you found out that the NBA is bringing in a new team to the G League, and that it was from Mexico?
Yeah, the first, you know, thoughts was I have to be a part of this somehow.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, you know, if I'll actively still be a player and be on the roster or be on the coaching staff. But my immediate thought was like, this is the future. This is exactly where I need to be. This is tailored to the T for a kid like me being Mexican American. I just immediately clicked in my mind like I was going to be that bridge between, you know, Latin-based players and American players. and be the best of both worlds, where, you know, I'm Mexican American, we're born and raised in San Antonio, Texas, mm-hmm. but have lived the last 13 years in Mexico. Right. So I was just, it was almost that calling where it's like, my last, you know, 20 years of my life has brought me to this point. So I was excited. And when they called me and they wanted me to be on the team and go to training camp, and it was just a burst of excitement knowing that, you know, I'm going to come back to Austin and or Texas and play against these teams and have, you know, my community, my family, my friends come and watch me. So I knew that was one of those sunset fairy tales for me to be able to retire. And I jumped on the opportunity.
Oh, you definitely. And I think it was an opportunity not just for you, but for other pro players from Mexico to get a chance at the NBA. You know, the G League now is a launching pad. Back when they first started, remember it was called the D League for a long time.
Yeah.
You would get the occasional call up, and it was a big deal. Nowadays, it's common for players to get a call up, and not going to be surprised if a player from the Capitanes does get the call up to the NBA at some point in you know, the season or in future seasons. Do players talk about that opportunity that the NBA has given players from the Capitanes to possibly get a call up and play with an NBA team?
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, last year unofficially when they played in the season, mm-hmm. I think they had the most call ups.
Nice.
That year. And that's exactly why we have, you know, six guys that are playing the NBA on our team, on our roster mm-hmm. now. I think one of the perks is not being affiliated with an NBA team, and these guys are being looked at by, you know, the entire NBA teams and could go to any team. I think that's a reason why, you know, a lot of these players go to Capitanes, is to be able to have that perk of being able to go to any NBA team. I think we have too good of players right now and they're still young enough to get called up. And I believe it's just a matter of time that we lose, you know, two, three, you know, possibly six to NBA teams, which is obviously exciting because that's what you want for the guys, right? For them to fulfill that dream, and at the same time, you know, it's a constant rotation of roster, and we all have to be ready to play because there's no telling when, you know, guys are going to get called up.
How did it feel like playing against the Austin Spurs? You're going against the team that you grew up with in Lanier. You went to the Alamo Dome to watch the games back in the day. And now you're facing against their G League team. Was that like surreal for you?
It really was. I was talking to some of my teammates in the locker room before the game of how nervous I was. You know, I played in big stages throughout my career with a lot more responsibility than I do within, you know, Capitanes. And for me to feel the way I felt was so bizarre. And I think it was a combination of like, oh, I'm going to play against the Austin Spurs. I'm playing in Austin, Texas. And I got about 150 people coming to watch me play. So all these emotions were just running through my mind. And especially with the coach then telling me, hey, you're going to start tonight. That was just another added factor of, you know, all these nerves and jitters. But it was exciting, I've embraced and accepted my role in this team and, and to be able to help contribute, get that win in Austin, that was pretty cool to be able to have that notch under my belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not winning a 3-point shootout overseas in Israel or Mexico or playing for a gold medal. No. For Orlando, the most nervous racking was playing in Austin against the Austin Spurs. That is funny. But, you know, I look at your career and, you know, so many highs. I mean, your resume reads like a resume that any pro basketball player would want to have, from Olympic appearances to Olympic medals and gold and silver. to three-point shootout contests, to championships in Mexico. It feels like you've practically done it all, Orlando. And now that you're with the Capitanes, you accepted your role. I got to ask you, there's one thing that's missing on your resume. Could coaching be in your future?
That's the million-dollar question. I think part of, you know, me coming to the Capitanes was the possibilities of me staying within the organization after this year. Obviously, the NBA is looking to see, you know, if Mexico City could be another destination for the NBA. So, you know, and to be part of the Capitanes on staff, and, you know, I believe in the ownership. I believe on who's running it. I believe in the project. The most logical thing for me is to make that transfer from player to coach. But the only downside is, you know, I have two little girls that want their father full time here in San Antonio. You know, it would just be swapping one lifestyle with the same. So I might stay away from it for a couple of years until my kids, you know, go off to college. And then I'll have more time. But as of now, it's not in the near future. I think I owe it to my kids to be able to, to be here 24/7 with them.
Absolutely. I just hope, Orlando, that you'll just text me when the day comes and say, "Hey, Jeff, you want to announce that I'm going to be a coach now?" Just promise me that, Orlando. Let me have that opportunity to do that for you. I think that'll be a fun. But no, I definitely, you know, just looking from the outside in, it looks like that is the logical step next for you, because as mentioned, you know, your resume is glowing. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of pro players will look at your resume and say, you know what? I would like to have that too, to be able to say they played in different countries for their home country, for their home city. It's just so much. But hey, the Spurs, they'll be playing a game against the Heat this season out in Mexico City. Why is that such a big deal? A regular season game, not a preseason game, not an exhibition game, a regular season game in Mexico City, Spurs Heat. Why should fans make the trek out there to go check out the Silver and Black and soak in all that Mexico City has to offer?
Well, I'll start with the city itself, Mexico City. It has a lot of five-star restaurants. It has a lot of cool touristy things that you can do. A lot of museums. It has the largest park in the world. There's so much stuff to do. The fans itself go crazy. They love basketball down there. They always fill up the arena every time the NBA comes. And I think logistically too, it's just, you know, 2.5 hours from San Antonio to Mexico City, direct flight. So that's also another good perk. I think it's a great time overall. You know, you take your family a day or two before, be able to explore the city. Sure. Go watch some good basketball, and call it a night. I think it's one of those destinations that everyone has to experience a game there in Mexico City. And more than anything, the Spurs being, you know, from San Antonio, a huge, you know, Mexican American or Mexican following.
Are the Spurs pretty popular out in Mexico City, or just Mexico itself?
Yeah, they are for sure.
Yeah,
it definitely helps that all those championships they have won in the past definitely helps. But they are a team favorite for sure.
I was going to ask you, were you able to meet Manu Ginobili? I mean, he was in Mexico City recently to promote the upcoming game, Spurs Heat. Have you ever had a chance to interact with him?
I have not. I am not.
Interesting.
He is the one role model player that he is my favorite player of all time. And I have not had the privilege. Every time we are in the same area, I'm either playing or I'm practicing, and you know, he's out, you know, retired, doing his thing. But we have not crossed paths, mutual friends. But I'm hoping, you know, for that one day to be able to have that conversation with him.
It might be coming soon, because I'm, you know, I don't know anything, but there's a, probably a good chance he might be there for the Spurs Heat game out in Mexico City. So maybe you'll realize a dream soon and get to meet your idol soon. But Orlando, here's winding down this conversation with you. I know you play with the Capitanes, and I get that. I understand that. But what are your thoughts on the hometown team, the Spurs, this season? Kind of going through a rebuild. What is your take on all this? You know, the direction the team is going in?
I think there's a lot going on. Being an athlete in this generation, where, you know, that commitment is not as strong as before. And I say this because the Spurs have done a wonderful job of, you know, finding guys under the radar, being able to develop them and build them into, you know, superstars. And but the one thing that is hurting them is being able to keep them here in San Antonio. So I think they got great young talent. It's pretty fun to watch them, you know, demonstrate that passion, that determination out there on the court. You know, it's one of those things that are making a transition, rebuild. But these new names are coming up, and you're like, wow, like, where did they find this guy? Where did they get this guy?
And
that's cool to witness. And it's good that there's still, you know, organizations that are able to build those type of players.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, talk about a quote unquote rebuild, because they're sure not playing like they're in a rebuild. They're competitive this year. They were very competitive. Yeah. Yeah. They're supposed to be losing, not taking teams to the final seconds or overtime like they did with Memphis. But here they are trying to prove all the naysayers wrong. And then we got to talk about the Capitanes. You know, tell everybody how they can check out your team in action, you know, G League. How can fans tune in to watch you and your teammates hoop in the G League?
Well, tonight we play against the Rio Grande Vipers down in Edinburgh here at 8 p.m. I think the Capitanes in general is a great team to watch. There's a lot of big names in our team. We started off on the right foot as far as our record goes, and got some good wins. Definitely could just, you know, search on social media or internet as far as, you know, Capitanes Ciudad de México to be able to check out the schedules. We still got to play Texas Legends. And we come back in December and play against Austin Spurs again. So we got a lot of basketball ahead of ourselves. And I think we're a fun team to watch.
You're probably going to get asked for a bunch of tickets for the next Austin game, aren't you? Get ready, Orlando. It's coming again. Just brace yourself.
I don't mind it at all. It's a good thing to have.
Will you be nervous again? I don't think I will.
I think the jitters will be gone. I think it would be one of those ordeals where you're like, all right, we've been here before, and same as always, kind of thing.
Orlando, I'm not a coach, but I've had to give one advice to the Austin Spurs when it comes to defending you. Don't leave them open. Don't leave Orlando open. It will drain the three on you. Just get ready for that. Orlando, we want to thank you for hopping on Locked On Spurs to discuss your journey, your basketball journey, which started in San Antonio, taking you across the seas to Mexico, and now with the G League team, the Capitanes. Is there anything else that you want to promote out there, or anything you want to get out, a message to those Mexican-American kids that are searching and looking for their way to become a pro basketball or just a pro athlete in general? What would be your best advice for them?
I think to stay humble, stay focused in what they're doing, because the resources are out there. You know, if I had, you know, a team like this in the G League Capitanes, where they favor Latinos because they're trying to, you know, build something, it's a good resource to have. It's a good exposure. It's something to look forward to and kind of set that standard as a player. So there are things that are out there to help you. And I think Capitanes in general for Latin-based players is one organization that could be perfect for that, you know, that next generation, that next kid playing. And the only thing I would say is just stay dedicated, stay devoted, stay in the gym. And
yeah,
it's going to be a job.
Yeah, definitely. You are a role model for Mexican-American kids that are hoping to become pro basketball players just like you did. And any social media do you have, you know, Instagram, Facebook, anything like that where fans can follow you?
They can follow me on Instagram. It's probably the most active. It's OMV2033. I have every social media platform, Twitter, Facebook, but I would say Instagram is the most active.
All right. Well, there you have it. Once again, thank you, Orlando, for hopping on this episode of Locked on Spurs. We appreciate you taking time. And again, if you're going to make a coaching announcement, please let me know. Yeah, my number. Just text me, please.
I guess. Just, I appreciate it.
I'll be happy to break that news for you and get all of San Antonio excited for your next chapter, if and when that does come. Here on Locked on Spurs. So for Orlando Mendez Valdez, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked on Spurs.